Praise the Lord. I want to do my third part of this series of Listen to Your Heart. And of course, you know, in the first part we talked about the heart is the inward man, the real man, the hidden man of the heart, the inward man. That and the heart, when it mentions that in the Word of God, most of the time it is talking about the real man. The inward man, and following the inward witness, it would be, if you want to title the message, it's the part three of the series. Learning to follow our heart is something that all of us should learn. In fact, my father used to say, learning how to be led by the Spirit is one of the most important things you can learn after salvation, is how to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, you know, many times, we need to learn to listen to our spirit, as teenagers and as young people and as adults. Some of you say, well, I didn't get born again until later in life. Well, then learn now. But if you grew up here in the church, you should already be learning how to listen to your heart. You know, that still small voice on the inside of me. As a teenager, it kept me out of trouble. How many of you remember that I don't know what they do nowadays, but used to in the small town, our small town, that all you just started, we had, they call it cruising, and you just cruised, you got the square, you cruise down to this end of town as Lindy's number one drive in down there. You drive through there, come back around, drive around the square. Some people are parked on the square, stopping and talking. Go around that, and then you go out to the end of town to Lindy's number two, and you make that same route. You just keep cruising around, until a bunch of you get together, do something or something, I put 100 miles on my car one night, never left city limits of the town, but, that can happen. How many of you, anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, we cruising around, and me and a couple of buddies in my car, and we was cruising by the square, and TJ or one of the guys hollered at us, and so we pulled over and stopped and said, hey, let's all go over such and such a town. And so we all jumped in his car and headed that direction. But, we was cruising around having a good time. Actually, we started cruising first, and then somebody said, let's go over there. And the minute they did, something in me said, nah, you better not go. And, I overrode it at first, and we started out the highway and headed that direction, and it got stronger and stronger. And I finally told him, hey, stop, I want out, I ain't going. Oh, Hagen, you just yell. I said, I don't care if you call me yellow, whatever. I'm not going. Stop the car. So I stopped, I got out. By that time we out on the highway, I start walking back toward town. But one of my other buddies come by and picked me up and said, what in the world are you doing out here? I said, oh, and I told him all the guys. I said, we was all cruising around, and one guy decided they're going to go over this other town. And I said, I think they're going to get in trouble. He said, yeah. He said, I know they'll go over and get in trouble. And the next day we found out they all got arrested. Hello? So, I was born one Sunday and in church the next Sunday, and I grew up with this, and I learned to do this at an early age. I learned to, Dad began to teach us that. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians 6:16. 2 Corinthians 6:16. All right, either turn there on your Bibles or your iPad, your iPhone. If you got your iPhone out and you're not looking at the Word of God, you need to change what you're doing and start listening to what I'm saying, okay? So get off of your phones if you're not reading the Bible on it, all right? Hallelujah. So many times people, they want to check something, and before you know it, they're so engrossed in it, they're not even listening to what's going on in the church service. Okay. All right. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. Okay. For we are temples of the living God. as God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. You know, as a believer, we are the temple of the living God, and this truth should be a reality in our lives. Now, that time I followed my, you know, I didn't get in trouble with all those guys. Now, I wasn't no angel. I'm not trying to depict myself as being an angel and not ever messing up, because I don't think, no, there's only been one perfect person, and that's Jesus Christ, and they crucified him. I don't want y'all to walk away and say, oh, man, he's been perfect all of his life. No, I hadn't. But sometimes you can listen to your heart and get yourself out of trouble, but sometimes I overrode it. You can override it and get yourself in trouble. You need to learn to respond to situations and circumstances with the Spirit on the inside. We need to make a conscious effort to realize that the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you, and He will guide you, He will direct you, He will help you. You know, many people want to be led by prophets and prophecy and spectacular supernatural event, and that's only going to happen occasionally, if ever. That's not the way He leads. Now, through some prophecy or some supernatural event, He can confirm something that you have already been picking up on. But He doesn't normally lead that way. You see, people try to put today's Christian with those in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, they had to go ask the prophet because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Only the prophet had it upon him. The prophet, priest, and king, they had the Spirit upon. We have the Spirit within, so we can commune with God ourselves. We don't have to go ask the prophet what's going on. So don't get yourself messed up leading by what somebody says. Now, it can help you to know what to do because it will confirm something that you already have. How many understand what I'm saying to you? All right. See, sometimes people talk about that they have an inward witness, an inward intuition, or an inward knowing. You don't always know why you feel the way you feel, but it's something coming from the inside of you. How many, anybody know what I'm talking about? You just have some kind of inner knowing that, hey, wait a minute, something's not right here. You know, I've talked to new believers, and they'll say, you know, I went to a meeting, and there were just something, I don't know, something's not right, and I don't know why. I mean, see, they just got born again. They didn't know anything about the Word of God. They didn't have anything to measure it by, but the Holy Spirit on the inside of them was trying to help them by saying, hey, scratch them, say, hey, this is not right, this is not right. And, you know, they hadn't hardly been born again, but they heard us. Man, no, wait a minute, that's not right. On the other hand, I've seen mature Christians go and listen to somebody preach wrong doctrine. And you know what happened is they swallowed hook, line, and sinker. But whenever those mature believers, finally somebody gets to them, they say, you know, the whole time something about it bothered me. But because of who it was, because of who the minister was, I thought, well, that's just me. And anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever seen that happen? Maybe you had it happen to you. Hello? We don't need, if the Spirit on the inside of us begins to, I call it, my dad used to call it, and I do the same thing, call it sort of scratches on the inside or sort of. How many of you have ever been and you listen to somebody preach and all of a sudden Now, everything they've been saying is good. See, here's what we got to learn to do. We got to learn to have as much sense as an old cow. And they said, what are you talking about? Well, I don't know about how they do hay now, but used to, they roll it up in those rolls now, but used to you had it in bales. How many know what I'm talking about? You had wire around there, called it baling wire. You know, well, when the rake would go through raking that up, and I mean, it would pick up rocks and sticks and glass and all kinds of whatever it picked up with the hay that had been mowed, it would bale it up in there, and you could put that out there, and those cows eat the hay, but they'll leave all that other junk there, and then you got to get the rake and go out there and the scoop and the rake and go out there and get it all up out of the feedlot, you know. And that's why sometimes Christians, they hear somebody preach something, they just eat it all. Hey, you know, a guy could be doing really good for a little bit, but then all of a sudden he goes off. Hey, eat the hay and leave all that junk. Listen to your spirit. This, your spirit is trying to tell you something. See, as you mature in your Christian walk and read the word and so forth and hear the word, then you need to be compared. If something is being done and it doesn't quite line up, you need to look in the word of God. Look at, see, the baby Christian, you have to help them. See, when my grandkids, my kids, and now my grandkids, when they were all young and they'd be at the house and they were young, Poppy, I want a drink. I want a Dr. Pepper or something. I go get it for them. They get up about 5, 6 years old. I said, well, there's a refrigerator. Go get it yourself. How many know what I'm talking about? See, God expects us to grow up spiritually. He don't expect us to have to be spoon-fed and taken care of. So we need to learn how to listen to our spirit, learn how to grow up spiritually, listen to our spirit. Now, God has designed us to follow the inward witness. Romans 8, 14, and then verse 14 and verse 16. Romans 8, verse 14 and verse 16. All right. Everybody turn there. Let's see. Here we go. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Then verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. I want you to notice that the first spirit is capitalized. That's the Spirit of God. The second one is a small s. That's the human spirit. That's us. You see, now we got to go back. Remember, I talked about in the last lesson that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. The soul of man is, and remember, I talked about it. It's the emotions, the intellectual part of man. See, each of us need to become sensitive and have a responsibility to learn how to listen to the inner spirit on the inside of us. But God wants to guide us both in the natural and the spiritual affairs of life. He wants to help us with our relationships and our emotions and our thoughts and our finances. Hello? When you have a decision to make, you need wisdom. And it's important to learn how to check with the Holy Spirit. You know, something, oh, well, it's a minor decision, but it's a major decision now. I need to check with God. No, you need to check with all of them. He wants to help you with everything, the big decisions and the small decision. He wants you to have guidance, and he wants you to be comfortable. And whatever you need at the moment is what he's interested in, whether it's big or whether it's small. That's what he's interested in. I mean, he's interested in all of our lives. Don't limit God. So many times we limit God, but we don't seek his advice in matters. He knows how to help us if we'll listen. You know, some people say, well, that's not a big enough thing to take it to God. Hey, anything that you have to make a decision on is big enough for God. He wants to lead you in your personal life, your job, your ministry, your spiritual life. He wants to guide you in your leisure activities and your relationship with other people. The Holy Spirit wants to help you. You've got to learn to listen to him, though. How many of you have ever, you felt like, well, something on the inside said, nah, he shouldn't do that, he shouldn't do that. But you just overrode it and did it anyway. Now keep your hands up. How many of you, when you overrode that on the inside and it got you in trouble or a mess, put your hand down? See, everybody, because see, God was trying to keep you out of trouble, but we override it with, we are free to override. We're a free agent. We can do it if we want to. He does his best to help us, but we have to listen. You know, many years ago, one of our Rhema students was working right over here. It was a, there was a body shop over there he was working at. And one night he felt like, because they were allowing him to work late because, you know, he didn't come to work till after school. He'd come to work in the afternoon. But he felt impressed to close up shop early. And so he did. And as he was locking the door to the shop, he heard what he thought was somebody groaning. And he stopped and he didn't hear it anymore. And he listened and listened. And finally he walked to his car. And just as he was fixing to open the door of his car, he heard it again. And he said, no, that's a person. And so he got to looking around to see. Some of you know that street back there, it used to not have the lights that it has on it now, and it was pretty dark, but it's dark back there. And he saw a little light on the ground, and he went over to see what it was, and it was a motorcycle, and a person had lost control going around that curve on their motorcycle and had hit their head on the curb, and they were laying there, and he immediately prayed for them. Then he went back in the shop and called for help. And then he went back and began to speak the word over them. And later on, he found out it actually was another Rhema student that he didn't know lost control going around that corner on a motorcycle. And he fully recovered. In fact, the doctor said it was amazing that he had people in that had happened to most of the time that wouldn't recover. He didn't have a helmet on or anything. Actually, if I remember the story correctly, he lived in student housing and he got on the motorcycle. Somebody, he just wanted to take a quick ride on it, if I remember it right. And that happened to him. Now, if he hadn't closed that shop up early, that person more than likely would have died. But he just said, I don't know why, but I just felt impressed to do it. Come on, you listening to me now? I think I got your attention. See, how to be led by the Holy Spirit is vitally important to your life and to the life of somebody else sometimes. Hello? You know, Dad used to tell this story. I don't know. I think I know who the guy was, but so I'm not going to say. But he used to tell a story about a guy, a businessman down there in Texas, that never lost a dime on his investments. And he became very, very successful. And he said it's because he learned how to listen to the Spirit of God. He explained that when he had to make a decision, there would be business deals on paper It looked like it couldn't fail. But he said, something on the inside of me would say, no, no, no. And other deals that on paper, it looked like, no, you don't put any money in this. It ain't going to work. But yet on the inside, he would get, go ahead, go ahead. And he said, that's the way he always listened to his spirit. I always bid him listen to that. And I would not make a move until I'd pray and listen until I got a direct direction from the Holy Spirit. And he said, when I listened to my heart or my spirit, I never lost a penny. I even made investments when all of my friends and other businessmen said not to. And I made money and they didn't. And they all invested, and on paper it said, this is the best deal. I said, no, and they laugh at me, but they lost money. I would gain money. The key ingredient is to spend quality time in the word and prayer concerning whatever decision it is that you have to make. You can't learn how to listen to your spirit without fellowshipping with God. You can't just run in off of the cuff and say, oh, Lord, I need help. Help me. Oh, I don't know what to do. Help me. No, you have to have a continual, daily communing with God. Hello? You know, now one of our former board members, well, he's not on the board anymore. Nothing wrong. We're still friends and everything. But he got a hold of my dad's book on how to be led by the Spirit of God. And that's exactly what I'm talking about here, is how to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, he was working as a cashier in a bank. And he was wanting to get out and start his own business. And so a piece of property, well, actually this property had come up and somebody bought it, but and then some things didn't go through. And so now the bank has it, and he buys this piece of property. It was just sort of a triangle piece of property. And All of his banking buddies, and he's just a cashier in the bank. But the loan officers and some of the other higher ups said, "Oh, don't do that. You're gonna lose your money." But he said he felt in his heart to do this, so he bought it. Now he's gonna try to divide it up into lots and sell them, and you know, make some money. Everything falling through. And so he had gone to oil companies and everything because he thought it was sort of on a busy street deal, but it'd be a good place for a service station. And they said, no, we're not interested. So now he is praying about it. He got up one morning praying about it, and the Lord said, go back to he named the oil company, go back and see them about it. He said, I was just there 2 days ago. They're not even interested. He said, I've talked to them twice. They're not interested. And the Lord kept saying to him, go back. So he said, okay. So he went back, and the guy said, oh, I've been looking for your number. I lost it. I didn't know how to get a hold of you. He said, we just found out they're fixing to put a freeway through there, and that's going to be a main intersection. And we want to put a service station there. And so now he ends up selling one lot for a service station for how much the whole piece of property costs. Now he has three other lots to sell, and that's all profit. Amen. And that started him in the development business. And some of the people know who I'm talking about. He's developed all kinds of towns and everything else because he learned how to listen to his spirit. You see, We need to learn how to listen to what God is saying to us. Not just on business matters. I use those two things. Listen to God on where to go. These people over here, where to come to school. I mean, everything may say you shouldn't, but on the inside, you know, hey, this is what I should do. I've done that before. You know, you can listen to the, you know, the experts, economic experts and people and so forth and so on. But I'm going to tell you what, they don't always know what the Spirit of God knows. Hello. You know, this doesn't mean that we don't ignore natural wisdom and knowledge that God has given us. But this means that if God is telling us to do something and we know it's God, then it's better to follow him than to follow the knowledge, natural knowledge. Now, I want you to realize, though, there's some things that you need to understand if you're going to be in these situations. You need to understand some things. Number one, you need to understand if you make a decision to go against natural wisdom but you got to be absolutely certain that it's God talking to you and not just yourself and not just because you want to do it. See, I've seen people do this, even ministers, go against what they had in their heart and mess up. But I've seen others go with, this is what they felt like, and I want to do this, and it didn't work. You know, years and years ago, I mean, listen, I've been in this all my life, so this is years ago Dad was still pastoring, and this one pastor said, bless God, I'm going to go over here and build a church. He said, I know that I started feeling in my heart that I shouldn't do it, but I believe that that's the place to build a church. I never would get this. I was in, second grade, I think. We're sitting in the house there in the parsonage and in the living room. I can see that parsonage now. And Dad looked at him and said, hey, you going to miss it? If you feel in your heart you shouldn't do it. Yeah, but look at that place. That is going to be a great place for a church. And Dad said, well, it looks like it, but if the Spirit of God on the inside of you is telling you, don't do it, you better not do it. Well, I just think that's me. I'm just afraid. And so I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. You know what? He built it. And the next thing you know, instead of being in the middle of all the action, all of a sudden the growth of the town switched the opposite direction, and now he's 8 miles from the center, and this is what was supposed to be the center. And now he's out in the country, and the center of town is over here 8 miles away. Now, I'm talking about back when I'm in second grade, so you talk about 1947, so that's a long time ago. Hello. It looked like when we bought this property out here, it didn't look like a thing to do. I mean, y'all see all this now. When we first bought this property out here, there was that one building on the corner there, and it had two businesses in it, and the thing was in the whole, that and half of RMA, which was half of it was a warehouse, and there was a couple things in there, and 6 acres, okay? Over where the park is, that was all growed up, and there wasn't nothing out here around anywhere building. The apartments was across the street there, and they were in receivership. Wasn't nobody living in them. Huh? Oh, yeah, it was just two-lane road out there. No street lights. It was dark. There wasn't nothing around. This is right here where this church is sitting. This all was vacant property, and it was all vacant property around here, you know. And it looked like it was a wrong move, you know. Looked like it was a wrong move. And but we'd been looking for a place to move the college to. That we didn't have the church then. That was back in 76. And turned the corner out there and saw the building. Look, yep, this is it. Just knew it. This is it. Got that first 6 acres. Actually got it from the bank. They were fixing to foreclose on the guy, and they said, we don't want to do that, but we'll work with you if you want to. We'll work a deal with you. So that's what I did. We worked a deal for that building on the corner and 6 acres right there. And so we got going, you know, and all of a sudden, people started coming to me. The only property that Rhema owns right now, except that first 6 acres and the apartments across the street, were right after we got in there, a fella came to me and said the insurance company has foreclosed on that over there, and they're looking for somebody just to take it off of their hands. And we prayed about it, and the Lord said, do it. So we took it. And everybody else said, man, y'all, it's bad. And after that, I never had to go out and ask anybody around here. I never ask anybody to buy a piece of land. They all come to me with everything that we own. They came to me with it. And many times, it didn't seem like the thing to do, but we did it. And did we need some of the property when we bought it, when it come available? No, but the Lord said, get it. We needed it later. We didn't need it then. So you got to learn how to follow your spirit. And everything you see around here is built because we listen to this building right here. We started out with drawings for $10,000. We looked at it after we just did drawings, line drawings. We didn't do any plans till we had, I knew better than that. By then I'd built enough buildings, no better than put money in plans. Just do line drawings until you know you got it right, and then you start playing it, start building, paying for plans. And that's not right. You can ask Lynette. We'd meet and we went back to Ross, redraw. He redrawed. Took us a year. He finally got it down to what you see now. The minute I looked at it, I just knew in my heart, this is it. This is it. This is what we need to do. Hello. Now, everybody was telling us, and Lynette will tell you, everybody was telling us, oh, you're building too small. You need to build 10,000, you know. And we kept, we did what God told us to do. See, make sure if you go against, you know, something, make sure if you make a decision to go against natural wisdom, be absolutely certain that God told you, okay? Don't go into it just because you think or you won't. Hello? Now, number two, we most often receive our revelation from the Lord. Ooh, I got to hurry. When our minds are quiet and our hearts are open. The guidance you need will come when you least expect it. You know, If I don't get an answer real quick, I don't move quick. I learned that from my dad. I stay quiet and relaxed until I get an answer. You know, we can be so cluttered with our minds and with stuff that we can't get an answer. I remember we used to, before the church was built and we were trying to get answers on stuff, we were building this campus, we used to go out little Sahara out there. The school was out. We had the school, the buildings for the school, but I was traveling so about every 6 weeks we would go out to a place called Little Sahara and ride our four-wheelers. And sometimes I'd just go out and just take a little ride by myself, go on top of a sand dune or in the early evening and sometimes in the morning time. And I'd just be sitting up there by myself on a sand dune, the wind blowing and just sitting there, not even thinking about anything really, just so relaxing and enjoying nature because I traveled all that. And all of a sudden, an answer would come to me that I've been praying about. But you see, it's because I'm out there, I'm relaxed, I'm not thinking about ministry, I'm not thinking about anything. I just sitting up there on top of the sand dune, just praying and sort of by myself, nobody else around, just sort of enjoying being out there and praying. Bill Fahler sitting right there, he used to go out there with me. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. He's seen me do that. But you see, I'm just up there, just praise the Lord, thank you, Lord. This is a beautiful day. Pray in the Spirit and just not praying for anything, not asking for anything, just worshiping God, thanking God for what he's done for us and how great. And all of us, and then I just get quiet. I remember one time I hung my knees over the handlebars and just laid back on the seat on that four-wheeler. And I just laying there looking up into the sky and just thinking about life, really, and not even thinking about buildings or anything. All of a sudden, an answer that I've been thinking and we've been talking about came to me all of a sudden. Oh, that's what I need to do. Now, that's what I'm talking about getting quiet before God and getting everything else out, you know, and just relax. Sometimes we press to get the answer. We're pressing so hard that we can't even hear him when he's trying to tell us something. All right. Anybody getting anything out of this? Now, the third thing, don't measure your success by comparing yourself to what other people are doing. The Lord doesn't measure you by somebody else. He measures you by what he's talking to you about. He accepts you for who you are and what he wants you to do. And he sees you successful if you're obeying him, no matter what anybody else is doing or saying. When I first came with this ministry in 1972, it looked like the wrong thing to do. Right, Lynette? I'm in line to be the pastor of a church. I went there with my father-in-law. We built that thing up about 600 or more. I'm in line to take it over. In the natural, I came with this ministry. No preaching. And I was preaching every weekend, sometimes twice a week, handling stuff. I came with this ministry, no preaching responsibilities. Setting up crusades, but I knew that's what God told us to do. It looked like we went backwards. We took a cut in pay, a big cut in pay, because I wasn't making hardly anything. She was a hairdresser for 5 years, and she made four times what I made, and she only worked 4 days a week, or three, I guess, really, and made four times what I was making. Everything said you missed it. And it looked like it too. All my buddies, all my preacher buddies that I'd been to Bible school with that I knew, all of my age, they told me, Hagin, you missing it, bud. You missing it. You missing it. But naturally, it wasn't a thing to do. But right here, I knew. Does it look like I missed it now? No. It sure did back then. I even started questioning myself. Right, hon? She'll tell you. I said, hon, I think I missed it. She said, no, we didn't miss it. I said, I know, I really know that God spoke to me, but look, it ain't working. She said, I don't make no difference. You see, it's not a matter how long it takes. It's a matter of following God. Hello? So it's so important to learn the inward witness. In every situation of your life, learn to respond with your heart. Now, some of these people here that are visiting, their hearts tell them they're supposed to come. Their minds tell them it can't be done. But if they'll follow their heart, they'll find out. How many of you sitting here, you came here and everything said not, but your heart said come to Rhema Bible College? How many of you, keep your hands up. How many of you are glad you did what you did? Wave your hand at me. See, it worked out. It didn't look, how many of you, it didn't look like it should work in the natural. Oh, look at the hands. See, that's the way it should be. How many of you have followed your heart in other things? A lot of you that went to school here, you're still here, but the Lord brought you here, and everybody else left, you know, your friends left and everything, and they were downing you for not going, oh, you just sitting there, blah, 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 blah. But you felt in your heart the Lord wanted you to stay, so you stayed. How many of you? See, we have to learn to follow our heart. I just saw Joe and Amy Dunnick back there. They're a vital part of this ministry. They came for 2 years and they're going to be out of here. That was how many years ago now, Joe? About 29 years ago. They still here? Hey, it wasn't in the natural. It was because of what was here on the inside. Anybody getting anything of what I said tonight? I keep hammering on this, and I don't know why. I didn't even get to some of the stuff I wanted to get to, but I kept hammering back and forth on this because the Spirit of God's trying to get some stuff across to some people. Listen to your heart. Now, that doesn't mean, now this is what the Spirit of God said, that doesn't mean throw out your natural, because you need your natural, but he just reminded me, it's what my saying is. It's the natural and the supernatural. Work them together and it makes everything work, or makes the explosive force for God, I say. But he just said to me, your natural and your supernatural work makes everything work. Hallelujah. Well, anybody get anything out of this morning? Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, I have tried to talk to people today, and I trust that I've gotten over what you wanted to get to these people, because I realize you were trying to drive a point home today. And Father, for these in this congregation and those that are watching, I thank you that they'll get a hold of what is said and their lives will change. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. But with your head, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I never like to preach a message that I don't give people the opportunity to find Jesus or to rededicate their life or have a no-so experience with God, because a lot of people don't. If you happen to be in this place today, you can't learn to follow your spirit until you know Jesus and you know God. So if you're here and you never accepted Jesus Christ, I want to pray with you and for you. If you're here and you know what it is, but you know you need to rededicate your life, I want to pray with you also. If you're here and you go to church and you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not, then I want to pray for you. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand anywhere in the room, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere right now. Let me see your hand. You need Christ. You need a no-so experience. You need salvation. There's a hand over here. Is that right? Ushers, was there a hand over there on that side? Somebody, I thought, raised their hand. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody over here? Was there a hand raised over here? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Are there anybody else want to join these that have raised their hand? Anybody, anywhere in the room. We also believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here according to what the Bible said. Not according to church creed or doctrine, but what the Bible said. The Bible said they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. And you'd say, I'd like to receive that biblical experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit today. Anybody in the room? Let me see your hand anywhere. Anybody upstairs, downstairs, anywhere over here, some? Everybody stand, please. Everybody stand, please. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I'm going down front here, and I want you to step out now and meet me down here. I want to shake hands with you, and I want to pray with you right now. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on. Come on right now. Raise your hand. Should have raised your hand. Wanted to. Come on now. Didn't raise your hand. Come on right now. Come on right now. Right here, brother. God bless you. Just wait right here. Just wait right here. Hallelujah. Bless you, man. Stand right here. Praise God. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Bless you, buddy. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, everybody. If you raised your hand, you didn't raise your hand, you wanted to raise your hand, come on. Come on right now. Come on right now. I'm going to wait on you. Up in the balcony, they'll help you get down. Don't stand there and miss an opportunity to change your life. If you feel the Spirit of God tugging in your heart right now, step out and come on down here. Defy the natural and come on to God. Come and receive right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody else coming? Oh, here comes another one. Praise God. Bless you, buddy. Just stand right there. Hallelujah to Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Come on. Hallelujah. Guys, you just made a great decision. I got in my handbook, New Birth in Him, tells you about who you are in Christ. Why tongues? Tell you about why you have tongues. If I said I'm going to give these and I put them out here like this, show me what you got to do to get them. Somebody show me. That's it. You reach for them, you get them. Now all y'all going to get them same books in just a minute. Well, you're going to get some more. Now, I did that as an exercise. I can give you a book, but I can't give you what you come down here. It's a spiritual thing. It comes from God. Congregation going to reach their hands out and pray for you as I pray for you. So I want you to raise one hand just like this. Don't matter which one it is. And with that hand, you're saying, okay. Just like he reached for those books, he's saying, okay, God, I'm going to get that spiritual thing right now. Would you pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life is met today. I thank you for rededication, no-so experience with you, salvation. Blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hand down and look at me for just a moment. I want you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth, given those books and some stuff. See Greg right over there? He's going to take you to that place and lead you there. And that place becomes a classroom on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock called Turning Point. Right now we call it a prayer room, but it comes classroom. And you say, well, what's Turning Point? Well, it's just a few classes to get your life turned on to God or back on to God, okay? Would y'all just turn right down and follow him to that place of prayer where they go right now? Just follow him right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Man, I trust y'all got something out of this morning. I really, God keep kept me to zeroing in on listen to your heart against the natural, but don't throw the natural out. I don't know how many of you got. I was trying to do that. Hey, God wanted to get something across to somebody, either out there or here. I think all of us probably need it. So Hallelujah. Trust you, give me something for it. Praise God. Praise God.